It's time for Sounding Off with Phil Goff.
Morena, Mayor Phil Goff, how are you this morning?
Well, it's quite a different morning this morning.
It is.
I'm looking up, the sun is in the sky and it's light. This time yesterday, looking out my window, it was like it was midnight. Everything was black. I could barely see the Sky Tower, which is right outside my window. And then, you know, after weeks and weeks of almost no rain, it all came down, and it all came down at once. So the old saying is, it never rains but it pours, and that was yesterday was certainly evidence of that.
Yeah, it was huge, and the flooding was pretty intense and very quick in the sort of urban areas of Auckland. What's the damage looking like today?
Yeah, it was intense. We had up to 120 mils in a couple of hours in some areas, which is, you know, one of the wettest periods in history, and then certainly the rainfall, you know, getting a month's rain in a day was pretty remarkable. Fortunately, the thing came in quickly and went reasonably quickly, but it certainly did a bit of damage in between. Just the account that I've got, the latest report this morning, we've had 22 houses flooded. That's where, you know, the water actually comes into the house and damages people's possessions. We had 18 schools closed. You know, a whole range of roads that were just turned from... I put up on my Facebook a picture of the Southern Motorway at Papatoetoe, and you'd think that cars were driving along a riverbed, not a motorway.
Yeah.
And yet, you know, a few hours later when I drove along it, it was completely dry. So it did the damage. Because it hadn't rained for a while, there was a lot of dirt and rubbish on the streets that probably got washed into the grates. Our teams were out working pretty hard. We had, I think it was about 300 calls for council assistance, where our teams went out and fire and emergency likewise. But
yep.
Down trees was another thing because we had a bit of wind there. The damage was there for those that were affected. At floodings are never a pleasant thing to go through because of the damage that it does to your home. But it could have been much, much worse. And fortunately, from about midday, we've had largely fine weather. We've got a few showers today and then a bit of rain again tomorrow. So we came through it better than might have been expected given the severity of the occasion.
We've been talking about wild weather for quite some time, I guess, in the last couple of years. There's been lots of, you know, concurrent crises going on, but we are seeing increasing wild weather patterns, and we know we're going to see more of these with climate change. The council is proposing a climate levy on rates. Can you explain what that's actually going to mean? Because it's feeling like a very abstract concept when we see something like the intensity and the immediacy of the flooding we saw yesterday.
Yeah, look, we know that what climate change does is a number of things. It lifts the temperature. So, you know, last year was the hottest ever year on record since records began 110 years ago, I think it was. It means we're getting far more extreme weather events. So we've had 3 years of drought in a row, and then you get these sort of floods. And actually, you know, when I said we're fortunate before, you compare what happened across the Tasman, where, you know, 60,000 people had to evacuate in Queensland and New South Wales, and 20 people died. There's more than enough evidence that climate change is happening. So what are we doing about it? Well, there's two things you've got to do. One, we've got to get urgent about trying to reduce the level of carbon emissions we're putting into the atmosphere. And the latest intergovernmental panel on climate change that the UN published just a couple of weeks ago again said, look, this is bleak, this is the worst ever, you need to act now. So what the Climate Action Targeted Rate is designed to do is to try to minimise costs to people. So the average property, the climate action targeted rate would be about $1.10 a week. But that then goes into ways in which we can reduce, first and foremost, our transport emissions. 43% of all of our carbon emissions in Auckland come from transport.
Yeah.
That's by far the greatest in the country. So what are we trying to do there, you know, apart from all the things on, you know, City Rail Link and Light Rail? About $600 million of the money raised would go into improving your bus services and to try to get more people to get, you know, to access where they want to go by travelling by public transport. And if you make it convenient, accessible, reliable, regular, that will happen.
One of the major parts of accessibility is, of course, cost. I mean, I know money doesn't come from nowhere, but we keep coming back to this. You know, people talk about how they would catch public transport, as you say, if it was more accessible to them, you know, closer to their house, takes them to work, that kind of thing. But also if it was more affordable, we're seeing right now some short-term COVID-related changes to the way public transport is funded, also related to the cost of petrol as well. But long-term, are we ever going to see more affordable public transport in Tāmaki Makaurau?
Well, from the 1st of July, of course, you'll have Community Connect come into effect.
But more broadly than that, are we going to be able to set for the general population?
Yeah, if we're talking about affordability, the place that you start is the people that are finding it hardest to do it. Look, is cost an obstacle for me for catching public transport? Of course it's not, and not for actually the majority of our people. And when you go out and look at what the cost of petrol is at the pump, you realise that suddenly, by comparison, public transport becomes a whole lot cheaper. So what the Community Connect card will do is provide a long-term 50% discount for over 200,000 Aucklanders.
Does that
who
include
are most
students?
In need. The students currently get a discount, and the three-month trial that the government's bringing in, that's going to be really interesting to look at to see how that changes it. Just the 50% discount that the government will be funding will be on top of the concessions that people like students are already getting, and I'm presuming also the community, well, actually, it depends on how long it runs, April, May, June. This comes in July, so at the very least, people on community service cards will continue to have the discount over the next few years as we trial it that the government is putting in place for a three-month period. And I think we can anticipate that there'll be stuff in the budget that will make it more attractive to use public transport. That's really important. But, of course, if you haven't got the public transport there in the first place, no matter how cheap you make it, mm-hmm. if it's not accessible and it's not there, people won't use it. So you've got to find that balance between those factors, Rachel.
Well, let's talk a wee bit about some of the conversations we've heard happen this week about the potential for COVID mandates, some of our perhaps vaccine mandates or rules around masking to change, not necessarily in the immediate future, but there's a lot of pressure from business owners in the CBD, in Wellington, here in Tāmaki Makaurau, who would like to see people come back in. We're also hearing the opposing view that people are saying having vaccine passes in those spaces or masking rules really securely in place are actually providing a safety blanket for people to feel comfortable going out and about. We're going to hear some conversation around this from the government tomorrow. What are you hoping will come out of that?
Well, what I'm hoping most of all is that it's going to be evidence-driven. You know, it's fine for an opposition politician to get up and say, get rid of it all, it should go now. And you balance that against what health experts, epidemiologists are saying is, please don't get rid of it all now. Look at what's happening in Australia. They had a peak a couple of months ago, but they're getting another peak now, new variant. Don't be too hasty in doing away with things that you might need to deal with something that you're not quite sure is going to happen in the future. So I think the government, you know, has that wisdom of Solomon, the choice of trying to weigh those things up. What I'm expecting, I see the Minister of Health said that he didn't think that vaccine passes were helping necessarily with lowering hospitalisation. I'm expecting that there will be an easing of a number of the requirements, including the vaccine mandates and passes. I think they'll keep And this is no insight on my part. This is just, I haven't been told. This is what I'm guessing. Mm. I think they'll need to keep it in areas like rest homes where you've got the most vulnerable people. You'll need to keep it in the health system. But I think you'll see an easing of vaccine mandates in other areas, and that will include not just in government-run sectors, but in the private sector as well. I think they'll probably want to encourage people to continue wearing face coverings because that's been proven to be effective. And, you know, it's a slight inconvenience, but if it keeps you safe or helps keep you safe, that's worthwhile as well. So mm-hmm. What's really important is that while we're at the, at the peak of what Omicron is doing to us, we just don't rush in and say, this is the right time and everything should be removed. We've seen that happen in other countries, including in Europe, and they've had to reverse themselves pretty quickly. So the government is being careful and cautious, but I think appropriately so, in making these decisions. What can we take away? What isn't actually making a huge difference now? How can we take away some restrictions on people, but keep the things in place that are making a difference and are stopping the overwhelming of our health system becoming worse with much greater numbers of people obviously catching COVID? I think what you're going to find after Omicron is that it will have been much larger than what the numbers even suggest. And at least for a three-month period, that will give those that have caught Omicron a degree of immunity on top of their boosters. And I was really glad that when I caught it, I had the booster because the impact was relatively mild, whereas for 1,000 people in hospital, by definition, it hasn't been mild, mm-hmm. it's been severe, and for some it's been fatal.
Well, let's park that for now and we'll see what happens with the government's announcements tomorrow. I do just want to very briefly touch on this. We might come back and have a proper chat about it next week, but we're seeing a little bit about the Auckland Council's water strategy come out at the moment. Now, what is the water strategy, first of all?
Well, first of all, it's setting up a vision for what we need for the future to ensure that we have the purest possible water for drinking water and the best treated water for discharge that has been wastewater, and that we have a stormwater system that works for the city as well. So we start off with a vision for the strategy, and it's been given a Māori title, Te Māori or Te Wai, which is the life-sustaining capacity of Auckland's water being protected and enhanced. And that's really important. And, obviously we're working with Mana Whenua because water is pretty fundamental as part of the Māori approach. And, we know that what we've done in the past is well short of the mark. It's also about empowering Aucklanders, making sure that we can work with Aucklanders to get better water outcomes. Mm-hmm. It's about prioritising how we use our water, making sure we sustain the environment and people in the long term. It's about what's called regenerative water infrastructure. So instead of getting fresh water, turning it into wastewater, and then treating the wastewater and dumping it in the ocean, can we have a regenerative process where we turn the wastewater back into pure water? And that, that's what a number of cities around the world are doing, and that's what we need to do. It's about water security, which is really important when you look at what's happening in the current drought. Yeah. And, I'm really glad we invested $250 million and we've increased our water supply by 100 million litres a day, because that means that we're getting through this drought this summer, yesterday accepted, without the need for further water restrictions. But it's encouraging people to use things like, we want to use more roof water, for example, more rainwater off the roof. I've got 80,000 litres of storage at home. I never run out of water, and I'm not connected with the system. And, not everybody can do that, but we can certainly have people using rainwater for things like watering the garden or reusing water from the dishwasher the shower to water your garden, all sorts of things like that.
We might come back to this one next week and have a proper chat about it, but it'll be interesting to hear a little bit more about how this water strategy is going to play out long term. Thank you so much for your time this morning, Mayor Phil Goff. We really appreciate it. It. Have a great week and we'll talk to you next Tuesday.
Always a pleasure. Thanks, Rachel. Mā te wā.
Mā te wā.
That was Sounding Off with Phil Goff.
Thank you.